Okay, in the case that hopefully everyone read before class, we have the discussions of somebody who founded a corporation with a new technology. Who can tell me a little bit about what's going on in the case? Volunteers. Or else I have to call in somebody. There we go.
He started a small business, and it didn't work out, and he borrowed money from someone at some stage, but the corporation had borrowed money. So when it went under, would he have to now pay for his own money back, this guy who had money to the corporation?
Perfect. Perfect, perfect. Dead on. So there's a corporation, great technology, ahead of its time. It took a loan, costs were too high, was using the money up, and the decision was to do what with the company? Put it into bankruptcy, BK, bankruptcy. And the question that the owner, CEO had was, despite the fact that he put a lot of his own personal guilt into the company, was the loan that he took from Max, a bridge loan that he took, is he going to personally be responsible for paying back that loan? Or, because the loan was given to the entity, to the company, and not him personally, he would not be on the hook. What's the concept of not being on the hook? What's the concept of bankruptcy?
Corporation.
You're
separate from who you are.
But if Jewish law requires, if you take a loan, that you have to pay it, even if there's a corporation, what mechanism would there be to say that the owner who took the loan for the corporation is off the hook? What's the concept there?
Dina de Malchusa Dina.
What does Dina de Malchusa Dina mean?
The law of the land
is the law. That on occasion, sometimes, even when there's potentially a conflict between halacha and secular law, we as Jews will sometimes, on occasion, accept upon ourselves the requirements of secular law, despite the fact that halacha may say otherwise. That's the question that we're grappling with. Now, that does not apply if there's a certain country that says you can't do bris milah, you can't put on tefillin, you have to work on Shabbos. Obviously, we would not say dina de malchusa dina, the secular law obligates me to do X, Y, and Z. If there's a conflict, obviously we go with halacha. But our question that we're grappling with is in certain commercial areas, for example, do we adapt and say dina de malchusa dina, the secular law binds me not only as a secular citizen, but also as a Jew? And if I don't adhere to secular law, not only am I violating secular law, but I am also violating halacha. Very good. Okay, so that's the topic today. Dina de malchusa dina. Next time we're going to have a subcategory, a corollary of dina de malchusa dina, which is paying taxes. So today we're not going to focus too much on paying taxes, but we will, Amir Tzashem, do that next time. Okay, dina de malchusa dina is discussed in the Gemara. It's the Gemara in Baba Kama that says as follows, Amar Shmuel, dina de malchusa dina. It's not only in the Gemara and Baba Kama, it's other places as well. And Rava says, let me give you an example. Look around, that the government representatives, they go around and they chop down people's trees without permission, and they take those trees and they build bridges from people's personal property, and we use those bridges, and we don't have a problem. We don't consider that wood to have been stolen by the government. And Tosfos comments, obviously, that they're taking it with permission, the government representatives, they're taking the wood with permission of the government. So we say, dina de malchusa dina, the law of the land is the law, that even the government doesn't even have to pay for the wood to use the bridges, and we use those bridges. Dina de malchusa dina, government can even take property of individuals. What would we call that nowadays? Taking away somebody's property. It is an appropriation, but specifically if they take real estate?
Eminent domain.
Government. Now, it happens to be, at least in the United States, eminent domain means the government can come. For example, they're going to widen the highways and they want to take away some people's property. That's called eminent domain. They do pay people. But halachically, we see they don't even have to pay people. If they're treating everyone equally, they're not just targeting one person, but they're saying we're going to take this and we're taking equally from people, then it would be proper for the government to take it, and they wouldn't even have to pay. It's funny, my wife used to work at a valuation company in Southern California, and a lot of the work they did was when Caltrans, that's the California Transit Authority, used to take people's property, they used to come in and value the amount that the government would have to pay. So based on this, at least if you're taking trees or certain property, the government wouldn't have to pay dina de malchusa dina. Now, this is interesting that everyone paskins dina de malchusa dina. This isn't the type of share that I'm going to say some people paskin, you have to keep secular law. Some people say you don't have to keep secular law. The Rambam, the Tur, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah and Chosh and Mishpat in multiple places say dina de malchusa dina, the law of the land, is the law. But what is up for us to do is to define what's dina, which laws does it apply to, malchusa, which governments does it apply to, does it apply to only democratic, or does it apply to democratic governments, or does it only apply to despotic, if you have a malchusa, kingdom, does it apply to. So we have to define what's dina, we have to define what's malchusa, and also we have to discuss, is there a difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laaretz when it comes to Dina de Malchus Dina? Does it only apply in Chutz Laaretz when we're under non-Jewish governments, or does it also apply when we are in Israel under Jewish governments? Okay, before diving into those three subtopics, what would be a reason, a rationale for Dina de Malchus Dina? Why would we have to adhere to secular law?
So we're not persecuted.
So we have to adhere. So we have to play ball. Okay, that could be.
We derive benefit from the laws of the country we live in.
Because we're benefiting, so we have to give back. Okay, what else?
Were it not for the government, then we'd eat each other alive.
If it weren't for the government, where would we be? It would be like Gaza City, right? It wouldn't be very pretty. So we need a government. So this is called the social contract. Who studied political science and international relations? So tell me about it. What's that concept of a social contract? Everyone comes together under a government and decides we don't want to really pay taxes, but we know for the better of everyone, so we'll agree. There's a social contract between people coming together. Who are the greatest proponents of that? 1600s, 1700s.
Locke, Rousseau.
Very good. Now, it happens to be that they did not create the concept. I'm going to read to you a Rashba who lived hundreds of years before Locke and Rousseau. So the Rashbam says as follows: Kol Misim Arnonios, all these types of taxes. Arnonios, what's Arnonios? Arnona.
Property tax,
yes. Umin Hago Shel Mishpatei Melachim, and things that are typically legislated, by kings, government, Shegurigilin Lahanig B'malchusam Dina, anything that they typically legislate, Dina hu, Dina na Malchusa Dina applies. We as Jews need to adhere to the secular laws. Shekol b'nei amalchus, because everyone, all the citizens living there, mekabli maleya mirtzonam, they are accept upon themselves volitionally, chukei amelech umishpatav, the requirements of the law, the laws, v'hilkach din gamor hu. The poskim say that this Rashbam is saying it's a din de orais, it's a biblical requirement that we adhere to secular law. Question.
Yeah, I can understand that if it's like a democracy, but if it's a monarchy, you know, it's might is right, so it's like
excellent question. Where's the social contract when it's not a democracy?
Yeah.
Right. So hold that question. Very good. Okay. So this is the Rashbam, the social contract. The concept here, the Chasam Sofer explains, is we're mocha, we agree, we need to give in. It's for the common good, so even though we wouldn't want to pay taxes, but we will, because we understand that it's an important thing to do. And the concept here, says the Mincha Shlomo, is not that the government owns lands and they can dictate to us what they do. The concept here, like we said before, is that there's a social contract, people coming together with the understanding that it's better for us to have a government than to be without the government. So Poskim say, the Chumash Sedeshin says, even if I don't explicitly say I accept this government, I'm not voting. I didn't vote in the past election, so I can disagree with them and not pay my taxes and adhere to the requirements. That's not how it works. Chumash Sedeshin says, as long as you're living there, even though you're not explicitly accepting upon yourself the government, you're implicitly accepting upon yourself that government, dina de malchusa dina, indeed applies to you. Rambam says something interesting. He says, how do you know that a government has been accepted by a people. He says that there's a common currency that the people have agreed to that evidences that there's a whole social contract between them that they are adhering to the requirements of that government. Now, the question would be, I forgot your name, I'm so sorry.
Zach
would say, but how about in Iran and Iraq that there's really not a social government, it's not a democracy, but there is a common currency.
Well, what about if you're on the gold standard? Gold isn't necessarily a common currency. It's just a
good
item of value.
Or ask me a more contemporary question. Somebody once asked me, how about if you just use bitcoins, right? So you just use bitcoins, whatever those are, right? The
digital
currency, right? How about that? So I don't have an answer for you. But I think we can say that the Rambam is telling us that's a marker for when we accept upon ourselves a government, is there's a common currency. It means that we're acknowledging that the government is backing this currency. People have bought into the system. Okay, there is an important point here that there is a secondary view of Dina de Malchusadina, that it's not based on the social contract of the Rashbam. And indeed, Rambam and Shulchan Aruch Paskin like the Rashbam, the social contract, and that's going to be important for us later on. But the second view is held by many Rishonim, the Ran, the Rush, etc., that the concept here is that the government makes the decisions because they own the property. They own the land. They're in control of everything. So they say as follows, Shekola Aretz Al Melechu. All of the ground, all the territory is controlled by the king. If you don't do what I say, I can banish you from the land. So this is based on having control of the government, and the government owns the property. They can make all of the decisions. Now, that sounds a little bit conceptual, so just to bring it a little bit more tangible, the Shita Mekubetzes explains as follows. If somebody owns a house, if you own a piece of real estate, you can make all the decisions when people are coming in. And if they don't want to adhere to your requirements, they are indeed not invited to come in. I'll give you an example. Anyone here from Toronto? Right? Guys, what do you do first thing when you come into somebody's house? Take your shoes off. Americans can't understand that concept. But if you're in Canada and you come in, your shoes come off. That is the social etiquette and the requirement of the owner of the house. We love Canadians when they come over. They ask, should we take our shoes off? We love it. We say it's okay. But because the Americans are going to keep the shoes on, so what does it matter? You're bundled to shishim. But that's a concept there, that somebody who owns the land, owns the house, can make a decision. Another example. About 3 years ago, one of my daughters had a play date with a girl from school. And the girl who was over, they were eating lunch. The girl who was over says, "Ten li mayim." What is ten li mayim? Give me water. So my very sweet, polished girl says to her, "Bebeitenu." She says it nicely, "Bebeitenu omrim bevakasha." She was 7 years old. In our house, we say please. So that's exactly the same concept. If somebody wants to come into the land, you like that story, right? If you want to come in, we have certain requirements and you have to adhere to them or you can be asked to leave. And one more example would be if anyone's ever seen in a shul or a base medrash sign up that says objects left over 30 days will be hefker. How can they do that? There's a shul in Los Angeles, Kilas Yaakov, sign up, objects left over 30 days, hefker. They don't want to have to keep these objects around forever. They own the property. They can make the requirements. If you're coming in, you have to adhere to our requirements. So the same thing applies when it comes to governments. If somebody wants to live here, you have to adhere to requirements. Dina de Malchusa Dina, the government makes the decisions. So what I want to do now, as I mentioned before, is divide up in deciding which laws, we'll do that first, which laws does it apply? Does it apply to everything? We want to discuss which governments and then Eretz Yisrael. Another important question is, what if the laws are not being enforced? I'll give you an example. There's a law in Massachusetts. Massachusetts is one of the 50 states in the United States of America. It is illegal. It is a crime to spit on the street. There are quite a few people from Massachusetts who spit on the street. So if I am a Jew, and let's leave aside Chilul Hashem, if I spit on the street, does that mean that comes Yom Kippur, I have to do an al-chayt because I violated Dina de Malchusa Dina? And whenever there are cops around, they don't enforce the law. So sometimes there are going to be laws on the books. Every state probably has such antiquated laws that are not enforced by the government.
Can't tie a giraffe to a telephone pole.
So is that a violation of Dina de Malchusa Din? I'll give you another example. Growing up in Los Angeles, anyone from Los Angeles here? So have you ever seen somebody cross against a red light and the cop was there? What happens?
They get a ticket,
jaywalking. There's no question about it. So I once was out and watched a friend step off the curb on Pico Boulevard right across from Nagila Pizza. It used to be across the street and then they moved. So we crossed the street on Pico Boulevard near Rexford, stepped down, saw a police officer and stepped back and got a ticket for attempted jaywalking. Attempted jaywalking. Violation of Dina de Malchusa Dina. When I was 18, I went to New York. I'm in Manhattan. I'm standing at a red light, and I see hundreds of people crossing against the red with the cop standing right there. And I'm saying to myself, why aren't they getting jaywalking tickets? Isn't there a problem of Dina de Malchusa Dina? And the question then is, do I go by what's on the books, or do I go by what's actually being enforced? And this is going to have a lot of ramifications, for example, paying taxes. What if the books say X, but certain things are not enforced by the government? Do I have to be stricter than what the government is enforcing? So that's another very important question that we'll have to discuss. And a third question that we're going to have to discuss, first was, what's Dina Malchusa in Eretz Yisrael? Second one is, what if it's not being enforced? The third is, what if everyone is doing it? Does that mean everyone's violating the law? Does that mean I can also? Even if it's being enforced, but everyone's doing it, can I also do that? Or do I have a problem of Dina de Malchusa Dina? I have to be stricter than other people. Okay, so on our first question of which categories of laws does this apply to, the Dina, which laws do we say I'm bound to adhere to secular law? There are three opinions, three primary opinions brought in the Rishonim. Number one is that this simply applies to laws that relate to real estate. Why is that? That relate to real estate, control of the territory or property. For example, if you want to live here, you have to pay a tax. If you want to traverse my country, you have to pay a fee. You have to pay a toll, for example. Why? What's the rationale behind that? This works out very nicely with the second rationale, Dina de Malchusa Dina. We said there are two rationales. One is social contract. Second one of Dina de Malchusa Dina is that the government, the king, controls everything. We have to adhere to his requirements. So now we're talking about what laws does this apply to. The first shita is that it applies to items, laws that relate to control of the real estate. If it's linked to real estate, I have to adhere to it. If it's not linked to real estate, I don't have to adhere to it. That's number one. Second view of when does Dina de Malchusa Dina apply, what types of laws, is based on the Rashbam that it applies to all types of financial matters. What would be an example of financial matters? Taxes, income taxes, property taxes, paying fees for sewage, fees, taxes on water, whatever it would be. All types of financial matters Dina de Malchusa Dina would apply to. That's the second view. And the third view is the Rashba, who says as follows, in two places in his tshuvas, Lina Dina de Malchusa Dina Shamarta Bevadai Lo Amru Ela B'mai Dikar Mana de Malka, things that are for the benefit of the government and things that are typically legislated. However, he says that court law, and he says, for example, when courts make decisions and they write their decisions in their books, that is not considered, it's not subsumed under Dina de Malchusa Dina. So we have to adhere to the requirements of the actual Malchus. We would divide up between like a legislature or the executive and the judiciary, the court system. Court system, Dina de Malchusa Dina does not apply to. He says because if we're adhering to all of the court decisions, then we've abrogated all of halacha. Where does halacha go? But it applies when we have laws that are legislated by the government itself.
Uh-oh. The problem is that the courts interpret the laws.
Ah, so we'll get back to this point in a little bit. Very good. So, but what he's saying is the interpretations may not bind us, but the actual laws do. But we'll have to get back to this in a little bit. Okay, so we have three main views of Dina. We're still in Dina. Which laws does it apply to? Shita number one is it applies to
property
issues. Number two is broader financial matters. And number three is even broader than that. It applies to legislation by the executive, by the legislature, but not by the judiciary. In Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah in Choshen Mishpat seems to contradict himself in his psak. What laws does it apply to? So in one place, Simon Shin Samach Tesif Tches, he says that he brings the opinion that applies to real estate matters, but then he says there's another opinion that applies Bechol Davar. What's Bechol Davar? Everything. It applies to everything. This is very broad. Dina Machutza Dina applies to every law, and he paskins Vechenu Ikar. This is how he paskins. Dina Machutza Dina applies to every law, every statute. But right after that, almost right after that, in Sif Yud Aleph, he says, Lo amrina dina de malchusa, we only apply the concept of dina de malchusa, ela bedavar shiyesh bohana lemelech, things that are beneficial for the king, o chaula takanas b'nei abedina, or if it's for benefit to society. But it does not apply to court decisions, because if that is the case, just like the Rashba, we would be abrogating all of halacha. So it seems to be that we have a contradiction within the Ramah. In one place, in one sif, he says dina de malchusa, dina applies to all laws. And in the second place, he says it's not really to all laws. Things that are a benefit to society, okay, but not to court decisions. So we need to reconcile this Ramah. How do we paskin in the bottom line? And interestingly, based on this reconciliation, we're going to come back to our case and see if the CEO of the company who founded the company that took the loan from Max, the bridge loan, is he personally going to be on the hook for paying back the loan? Or can you say dina de malchusa, dina applies, bankruptcy laws absolve me because I am simply a shareholder, I'm an officer, I didn't commit any fraud, it's the corporation that holds the debts, not me.
Well, similar to if it's a law but not enforced, what about if it's not a law but it is enforced, like with the famous President Jackson, Trail of Tears, the whole courts and the legislature said you can't get rid of all the Indians, but the president said, well, let's see you try to enforce it. And so he moved him away, even though they said it was illegal to do that. Would you be...
So if it's in the courts only...
And legislature.
So we'll have to see. We're going to see a little bit here. We're going to see a little bit right now. Okay. So we have this contradiction in the Ramah. So the Sma, one of the major commentaries on the Choshen Mishpat, tries to reconcile the Ramah as follows. The Ramah is telling us that even if the king tells us you need to adhere to court decisions, that's not binding on us as Jews via Dina de Malchusa Dina. If it's made in a court, even if it's in the interest of the government to tell us we need to adhere to court decisions, that does not bind us under Dina de Malchusa Dina. So when the Ramah was saying that it applies the whole davar across the board, you have to read the two se'ifim of the Ramah together. In one place, he says it applies to everything. In the second place, he says it applies to things that are beneficial for society. But not to court decisions. Read those two together, that it doesn't mean it applies to everything. Simply, the Ramah is telling us that it applies more than simply to taxes and financial matters. It applies to more, but it doesn't apply to any court decisions. How does bankruptcy work? Who controls bankruptcy? Jordan, help me out.
The government.
Like the government, but what division?
In terms of the laws.
In terms of the law, bankruptcy is.
Canada, it's a federal act.
It's federal. So we'll call it federal, right? It's a federal, also in the U.S., it's a federal law. However, who implements it? Who makes the actual decisions when it comes to bankruptcy? How does bankruptcy work? Somebody is insolvent, files for voluntary bankruptcy. There's also a concept of involuntary bankruptcy, that somebody says, this guy is insolvent, I'm going to throw him into bankruptcy. Somebody goes into bankruptcy, the court sets up a distrustee, and it depends. There are different types of bankruptcy. There's Section 7, there's 11, 13, whatever. 7, you dissolve the company. Other times, you try to rework the company. Section 13 is personal bankruptcy. And the way it works is that the court appoints a distrustee to look at all of the assets of the debtor, and all of the debts of the debtor, everything that's owned. And when you look at all the debts, you try to look at the level of the debts. Not all debts are created equally. Some have securities, are secured, some are unsecured. And the trustee's responsibility under the supervision of the court is to pay off the debts in priority level. So based on this SMA, The Sma said to us what? Dinan Malchus Adina applies to Kol Davar. But even if the government tells you that they want you to adhere to the cases, to the court decisions, that doesn't apply to us. It could very well be that under the Sma, Dina de Malchus Adina does not apply to bankruptcy. So in our case that we started with, CEO puts his company into bankruptcy. It could be based on this Sma that CEO is still personally liable for the debts of the corporation because Dina de Malchus Adina does not apply when it comes to bankruptcy. Everyone with me? Yeah, Jordan.
But what happens if you have some, if you're dealing with non-Jews, like some of the creditors are Jewish, some of them are non-Jewish, and they don't adhere to religious laws?
Are you talking?
You're the CEO, let's say you're a religious Jew.
If a non-Jew is coming to collect his debt, we have to pay him back also.
Right, but like, would it be because you're saying that he would say that I'm not under Dina?
No, whether under Dina, even not under Dina Malchus Adina, he would have to pay back the debt to non-Jew and a Jew alike. Either one.
But the laws may differ, do you know what I mean? Like, the priority list may differ.
Yeah, so you're saying if Dina de Malchus Adina does not apply, then we have to look at how halacha would divide up. But if Dina de Malchus does apply, then we're going to defer to the Dina, the priorities based on the secular system.
Right.
Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked the following question. Igros Moshe lived in the prior generation, actually not too long ago, and his question was, there was a company that was put into bankruptcy, but a creditor came and grabbed some assets. I'm owed money. Came into the offices and stole a few computers, took a few computers. What he says, I'm owed money, and he took some of the assets. Now, under the bankruptcy laws, when somebody files bankruptcy, the assets are frozen. No one can be paid off. No one can come and take assets. So that you can't come and take assets under bankruptcy law. Under halacha, the money is owed. It has to be paid. So Rav Moshe was asked, does Dina de Malchus Adina apply to bankruptcy or not? That's our question. So he says that there are times that the government will say that having standard practices in society is necessary for having orderly society. I'll give you an example. How you purchase real estate and how it's registered in the public land registry. You have to do that. You buy a piece of real estate, it has to be registered. And if anyone else wants to buy that piece of property, they're going to check in the registry. You want everyone, and that's a requirement. If you buy a piece of property, it has to be registered. In Israel, we call it the tabo, that it's registered. That's the land registry. That's how we check who owns legally a piece of property. So Rav Moshe says that even court decisions, when the government says we have an interest in having standardized laws, even court decisions will apply. Dina Malchus Adina will apply. He says certain times it won't. For example, even court decisions when it comes to if they would dictate to us how we would give Yerusha inheritance issues or issues between a man and wife. That's none of their business, that stuff. But certain court decisions, Rav Moshe says, Dina de Malchusa does apply, and he includes within that bankruptcy. So based on Rav Moshe, bankruptcy, Dina Malchusa Dina does apply. And back to our case, in the Shita of Moshe, the CEO, Jake Simons, who took the loan from Max, but he didn't take it, his company took it, he indeed would not personally have to pay back that debt because of Dina de Malchusa Dina. There are a number of opinions when it comes to Dina de Malchus Adina. So if it ever comes up, hopefully you're the creditor. But if it ever comes up, it's not as simple as we did. We just took two views of it. But obviously questions should be asked. Okay, I want to jump forward. That's a question of Dina. Which laws does Dina de Malchus Adina apply? And we said that there are three views. Is it just real estate, commercial matters, or is it broader than that? Things that are in the interest of the government but not court decisions. And the bottom line is that the Ramah, he paskins, it's very broad. It's not only financial matters, not only real estate matters, the Choldavar, certain things are carved out, court decisions, but it's very broad on the laws of Dina de Malchus Adina. I'm just going to keep on going. We'll take questions afterward because I want to try to finish today. Second question then is, which governments does this apply to? So Zach, before you hit the nail on the head, is that we brought two rationales for Dina de Malchus Adina. Rationale number one was the Rashbam, who says the whole concept here is we have a social contract. The second view is of the Ran and others, that it's based on the government owning the land, being in control of the territory. If you're not going to adhere to their requirements, they can banish you. An important nafkamina, the difference between those two views is, does Dina the Malchusa Dina apply to a democratically elected government? Based on the Rashbam, obviously it would. That's the whole concept. It would not possibly apply to a despot. You have a strong man that took control of the government. There's really no social contract. Some poskim say it would apply if he's doing things for the benefit of society. It would still apply because we have the Mishnah Pirkei Avos that says, "Heavy mispalo shall be shlomo shel malchus." We have to daven for the stability of the government, because if without a government, it would lead to a lot of instability. But fundamentally, based on the Rashbam, democratically elected government, Dina de Malchus Dina applies. Based on the Ran, the second view, that it's the government has control of everything, has control of the assets, they can banish you, would it apply to the democratically elected government? Governments don't really have the power if they decide to just banish you. They can throw it out an illegal alien, but if you do something wrong, they typically throw you in jail. We don't have the concept of a monarch. If a democratically elected government, a monarch that controls everything, we would say, based on the Ran, the second view, that Dina de Malchus Dina indeed may not apply to democratically elected government. Now, the bottom line in the poskim is that Dina de Malchus Dina does apply to democratically elected governments. Many contemporary poskim say that. There is only one contemporary posek that I found that says that Dina de Malchus Dina does not apply to a democratically elected government. Only one. Maybe there are others. I didn't see everything, but one that I found, and I do want to just mention this, even though we don't poskin this way, but it was somewhat entertaining seeing his rationale for this. So he says as follows. The question also was a bankruptcy question. Does the president of the company need to personally pay for the debts of the company? So he says, Dina de Malchusa, and this is by the Mishnah Halachos, Rav Menashe Klein, a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and you'll see why I said it's a little bit interesting what he says. He said, Dina de Malchusa, Dina nowadays, when we don't have a monarch, we don't have a king, that we have something called democracy, clicking my teeth on it because it's in Hebrew. He says, demokratia. Tzarech iyun iyesh bizman hazeh dinar malchusa. Tzarech iyun. I'm not clear that dinar malchusa dina applies when you have a democratically elected government. And he brings three rationales. Number one is the courts make the law. To get back to your point, Jordan, they're really making a lot of laws here. Number two, and he was writing this when he lived in Brooklyn in the United States, ubifrat. This is point number two. Shiyesh kan yoser mizeh. There's even worse than that. Hainu jury balaz. We have a jury system in the United States. Everyone knows what the jury does. They have a bunch of people sit. Nine people sit and they make the decisions. Who are the people that are recruited to be the jurors?
Most likely not Jewish.
Not Jewish, but what is their caliber and understanding of law?
Civilians.
Okay, more than that. They don't know. They don't know the law. They're recruited because they don't have day jobs sometimes. So, behem. Here we go. This is his view. Shadlokhim Asia Shikuri Mashuk. They go and they bring a bunch of drunks from outside. Shikuri Mashuk from outside. Bnei Adam, people Shema Olam Lom Lamdu Mishpat, people who have never learned law. They're just uneducated. Vem Mushchatim B'tivam, and they have zero ethics themselves. Vem Hachotchim Et Adin Al Pirov, and they're the ones that are making a decision based on the majority view. He says, as Vada Kai Gavna, certainly with people like that, we don't say Dina the Malchus Dina. And even more so, we could say, okay, that then we can understand why court decisions don't apply. But he says, even more so, oftentimes you have the courts that are overriding the legislation of the legislature. For example, when the courts come in and say, that's not constitutional, that law. What do you hear about nowadays? Obamacare, right? Who's really making the decisions? Obamacare legislature passed it by mistake. I'm sure they regret it. We won't get into politics. But the courts come in and say, we're going to strike down this part and that part and this part. Who's really making the laws? The courts. The courts are making the laws. So the Mishnah Lacha say, I don't think Dina de Malchus Dina applies to democratically elected government. Nonetheless, the bottom line is that the vast majority of poskim say Dina de Malchus Dina does apply to democratically elected government, even more so, not only on the federal, the top level, the government itself, but if you have elected individuals, for example, a governor or a mayor, Dina de Malchus Dina would also apply to them, And a question that the poskim also talk about is, how about appointees of those that are elected? For example, how about cops? How about somebody who works in the area, the local government? I didn't elect them, but they're the ones that are making the decision, zoning decisions, for example, how much I can expand my apartment. And they made a decision. Do I have to adhere to their requirements because of Dina Demachusa Dina? Rabbi Greenblatt, what do you think about that? Right? Does Dina Demachusa Dina apply to the decisions of the zoning board? I didn't elect them, and they're very low-level workers. So I asked that Shaila to Rabbi Rotberg, big Talmud Chacham, the big Rosh Yeshiva, Rosh Yeshiva based mayor, first cousin of Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and he says that Dina Demachusa Dina would not apply to the decisions of the zoning board for two reasons. Number one, they're low-level employees. They're not really what we're talking, Dina Demachusa. They're not the Malchus. They're not the elected people. They were appointees. They were low-level appointees, number one. And number two, it's none of their business what I do with my personal property. We're not talking about when I can negatively be impacting other people in my building or my neighbors or something. That's not what we're talking about. But it's talking about something that doesn't really relate to other people. We would not say Dina Demachusa Dina. Okay, we've gone through now Dina, and we've said that the laws that Dina Demachusa Dina applies to is fairly broad. Malchusa, most poskim say it applies to democratically elected government. I want to quickly go through talking about Eretz Yisrael and then give some examples of when Dina Demachusa Dina may or not apply. So when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to skip a little bit in the interest of being sure that we finish. We're going to go back now to our two rationales why we have Dina Demachusa Dina. There are others, but these are the two most prominent. Based on the Rashbam, what's the concept of Dina Demachusa Dina?
Social
contract. In Eretz Yisrael, we indeed do have a democratically elected government. So based on the Rashbam, Dina Demachusa Dina would apply. It would apply. Based on the Ran, on the other hand, the Ran says as follows. We're going to add on a little bit more to the Ran. Initially, we said in the name of the Ran that the concept is who controls the land. And if the government controls the land, and they can banish you. So based on that, we would not apply Dina Demachusa Dina in Eretz Yisrael. But he even goes a step further. He says as follows. He brings a Tosfos that Dina Demachusa Dina only applies to non-Jewish kings and governments, while Dina Demachusa Dina, because they control the land, they own the land, etc., and they can banish you. Aval b'malchei Yisrael, when it comes to a Jewish king, lo, Dina Demachusa Dina does not apply. Lefi she'eretz Yisrael, kol Yisrael shutafin ba, because Eretz Yisrael, every Jew is a partner in Eretz Yisrael. Every Jew is a partner in Eretz Yisrael. So, Mefurish in the Ran, that Dina Demachusa Dina does not apply to Eretz Yisrael. So again, we started out with the Rashbam and the Ran, and we said they have two different rationales for Dina Demachusa Dina, and we said we had one major nafka mina between them. Does Dina Demachusa Dina apply to democratically elected government or not? Based on the Rashbam social contract, Dina Demachusa Dina applies to the democratically elected government. Based on the Ran's concept is not social contract, but it's based on having a monarch that controls the land. Based on that, Dina Demachusa Dina would not apply to democratically elected government. And again, we asked another question, does it apply to Eretz Yisrael? And we have the same nafka mina between the Rashbam and the Ran. The Rashbam, which says social government, applies Dina Demachusa Dina in Eretz Yisrael. Based on the Ran, Dina Demachusa Dina would not apply to Eretz Yisrael, because the concept is, first, does the monarch control everything, not in Eretz Yisrael? And he goes even further that says, Kulanu Shutafim, but we're all partners in Eretz Yisrael. It's not the government that controls everything. This is the most famous Ran in the world, I will tell you, saying that Dina Demachusa Dina does not apply in Eretz Yisrael, that we don't have to pay taxes because we live in Eretz Yisrael. This is the Ran. I'm telling you, there's no Ran that's as well known as this one. But Lamaisa, the Rambam, Tur, and Shulchan Aruch, Paskin as follows. Din HaMelech, Din Hu, Paskin, Dina Demachusa Dina, Bein Shahaya HaMelech Goy, Bein Shahaya Melech Yisrael. Whether it's a Jewish king, a non-Jewish king, Dina Demachusa Dina applies, and we have to remember why, because they Paskin like the Rashbam, social contract. If we have a democratically elected government, Dina Demachusa Dina does apply. Okay, we have about 5 minutes left. I want to go through some interesting scenarios. Actually, let me recap. We've gone through Dina. Dina is broad. Malchusa applies to democratically elected governments. Last question, Eretz Yisrael. Bottom line, other than the Ran, who says it doesn't apply in Eretz Yisrael, we pask in Dina de Malchus Adina does apply in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, question number one. This was posed to the Machon Lahora. Machon Lahora is the largest Choshen Mishpat, Kollel, and based in the United States. It's based in Muncie. And they were asked the following questions. Al pi dinam, shein nosnim reshayon rak li'ish echad, if, quote, based on secular law in a certain given jurisdiction, that the government decides that in order to sell something or it's in order to be in a certain business, you need a license, business license to do it. And the government will give out exclusive business licenses. You have zones. Give me an example of something like that. Anyone ever encountered that? You have an exclusive area. Not like from a company, but from a government. It's not that common. What was that?
Industrial zone.
An industrial zone or electric company or something like that. The postal company. I was thinking a more common scenario would be that the government issues somebody a patent. A patent is you've worked hard in developing a technology. The government says, we're going to give you an exclusive on this that you can enforce for a certain number of years, approximately 20 years. Government said, you can sell this exclusively. And the question that was posed to the Machon Lahora was, Reuven had the exclusive from the government, and Shimon came and was competing in his zone without having the proper license to do so. Is Reuven permitted to go to the government and report Shimon saying, I have the exclusive, and Shimon is violating that? And indeed, we have two questions there. One is Mesira, which we've done in the past. Mesira is reporting a Jew to the secular authorities. And number two is Dina de Malchus Adina. Does Dina de Malchus Adina apply that the government can say, we're giving Reuven an exclusive, and Reuven has the right to keep everyone out of where he can exclusively operate his business? So the Machon Lahora paskins as follows. The im kein hu adim bizmanenu, after their analysis, sha'atakana nasa letovas hanhagas hamischar, the government has made a decision that it's for the benefit of commerce to give out these exclusive zones, unless the reason is that somebody's smearing them under the table. But if that's not the case, they've really made the decision, this is better for commerce. Shayach bazet dina de malchus adina. Dina de malchus adina does apply. It's pashut that Reuven can go to the government and prevent Shimon from competing against him because Shimon is violating Dina de Malchus Adina. So that would be question number one. And we see here, Dina Malchus Adina applies very broadly. These aren't necessarily financial matters, paying taxes, and etc. And the Machon Lahora is saying Dina Malchus Adina applies. Question number two posed to Machon Lahora. Somebody is making prank calls to Reuven throughout the night. It's not showing up on caller ID. And the only way that Reuven can stop this is by reporting it to the police and having them track who is making these prank calls. So again, we have a question of Mesira, and we have a question of Dina de Malchus Adina. So the Machon Lahora again answers as follows. This person who is making the prank calls, causing the problems, is in the middle of the night. He should be punished because of Dina de Malchus Adina. He's violating Dina de Malchus Adina. They have decided that this is illegal. And he says, if we were controlling things and the Beis Din were making the secular laws, we would have said the same thing. It's a problem to call somebody in the middle of the night. And accordingly, we do say Dina de Malchus Adina applies. This has nothing, again, to do with financial matters or real estate matters. We see Dina de Malchus Adina is fairly broad, things that are for the protection of society. Dina Malchus Adina would apply, and it would be permitted, indeed, to go to the authorities to deal with this issue. Rav Asher Weiss was asked three related questions. Number one, there's a law in the United States, certain areas, that certain educational institutions have to install sprinkler systems if there's a fire. Fire goes on, sprinklers click in, it's for the protection of the people in the building, protection of the kids, for example. Does Dina de Malchus Adina apply to that? The educational institution says, we're not going to have fires, and it costs to break all of our ceilings and install the system, could be a few hundred thousand dollars because we have a large building. Question posed to Rav Asher Weiss, a major posek in Ramot, Yerushalayim. Does Dina the Machusa Dina apply? Number two, and this has got to be on everyone's mind. Does Dina the Machusa Dina apply to the laws of the highways and traveling? For example, speeding. Does Dina the Machusa Dina apply that if I am in a 55 mile per hour zone, approximately 110 kilometers, is that right? Kilometers per hour, something like that. And I go over by 1 kilometer, did I violate Dina the Malchus Dina that Yom Kippur coming up, I have to say a special Achet Shechatasi that I was speeding. So does it apply also to highways, travel, etc.? Sewage and sanitation issues? This is all question number two. And question number three that he was asked, inoculations. If there is a law, and this could be a sensitive area with certain parents or others, that you need to inoculate your kids for certain things, and you don't want to, but that is the law, is there a requirement under Dina de Malchusa Dina? Three good questions. So Rav Asher Weiss answers to all three, even though in the Gemara, for the most part, the examples of Dina de Malchusa Dina relate to financial matters. For example, paying taxes, you have to look at the reason for the law. The reason for the Dina de Malchusa Dina is that the government is responsible to legislate laws that are for protection of society. And all three of these questions that we just discussed, sprinkler systems, highways, speeding, and inoculations for the protection of society, he indeed paskins that Dina de Malchus Adina applies in all of these scenarios. Okay, just a couple more questions. Or Sameas asked the rabbi, had the following question. According to Jewish law, can you go 65 miles per hour, 104.6 kilometers, not exactly 110, 104.6 kilometers, in a 55 mile per hour zone. Who here has driven in the United States? We all know if it's 55 miles, it's only a recommendation, right? It doesn't mean I have to do that. 55 means that the rule of thumb is plus 10 minus 0.1, right? So you can go up to ad v'lo ad v'chla, right? Up to 10 miles more per hour, I'm okay, right? So that was the question that was asked. So the person says as follows, who responded, I asked Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, one of the Gdolim who passed away recently, does Dina de Malchus Adina apply? He says Dina de Malchus Adina does apply to these type of laws. However, it is not based on what the books say. It's based on what the authorities enforce. And if the authorities are only enforcing 65 in a 55 mile per hour zone, I am permitted to go more than 55 up to where they are enforcing the law. This is a major concept, very important. We're not going by what the law says, but by the enforcement. For example, in Massachusetts, the books may say you can't spit in certain areas, but if it's not being enforced, it's not a problem of Dina de Malchus Adina. However, if you do get a ticket, he says, even if you were going less than 65 miles per hour, you still have to pay it. And then he also says, this does not mean that if you get a ticket for going 65, you don't have to pay it. Obviously, you have to pay it, but you wouldn't be violating Dina Malchus Adina. A couple more points. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, along those lines, when it comes to speeding, was asked, somebody came to him and said to him, I have a court appearance. I was driving without a license, and I ran into a wall. Can you give me a bracha that I won't be thrown into jail when I have my court appearance? And Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, you're a murderer, I'm not giving you a bracha. So the person said back to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, it's not that I killed or injured somebody, I ran into a wall. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, so you were driving without a license? Yeah, I was driving without a license. Then you are a murderer. You put people in danger. So again, we see this concept of laws. Dina de Malchus Adina, there are laws that are there to protect society, and obviously we have to be careful. Last question we're going to talk about, and then we will sum up. If you receive a letter, and it has a stamp on it, and the stamp was not defaced, it wasn't the bull, the postage stamp was not stamped over, so you can use it again. There is a law in the United States that you cannot reuse a stamp that was used, even if it hasn't made... even if it hasn't been defaced with the stamp. Is it permitted to reuse that stamp? So I saw Kupsak, Dina de Malchusa does apply, sorry, you can't peel it off and put it on another letter. That would indeed be a violation of Dina de Malchusa Dina. Okay, just to recap real quickly, our question was, based on our scenario, the CEO of the company, the loan was to the company, not to him personally. Does he have to pay the loans that were taken by the company, but does he have to pay it personally because it's going to put his corporation into bankruptcy? So we went on to discuss Dina, which laws, the Dina de Malchusa, Dina apply? Dina, Malchusa, which governments, and Eretz Yisrael also as an important point, but not fundamental to that. And we said that Dina Malchusa, Dina is fairly broad, fairly broad. Certainly real estate matters, financial matters, but even more than that. Malchusa does apply to democratically elected countries, and it also applies to Eretz Yisrael. Parenthetically, next time when we'll talk about paying of taxes, we will discuss views in Eretz Yisrael about that you don't have to pay taxes. So we will get into that. People that don't acknowledge the state, etc., we will get into that in Eretz Hashem. And when it comes to bankruptcy, bankruptcy is a very broad, challenging area. Some poskim say that Dina de Malchusa Dina does apply. Some poskim say Dina de Malchusa, like Rav Moshe Feinstein, does not apply. So we do have a machlokas in the Achronim. But even those who say, even some of those that say that Dina Malchusa Dina does apply, and the CEO does not have to pay, he took the loan, but it was the company, so he's absolved from the debt based on secular law, he doesn't have to pay. Nonetheless, some say that it's the proper thing to do, that he would pay anyway. So that's a very important shaila. If it's ever relevant as a creditor, Amir Tzashem, one should ask the shaila, but it is a serious question of Dina Malchusa Dina. Guys, have a great week.